This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
This is the Sons of Melchizedek. I'm Gordon Smith, and today we're interviewing Father Todd Goodson. Welcome, Father.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
This is the Sons of Melchizedek show, and one of the very first things I always ask our priest guests is the question, how do you prefer to be addressed, Father Todd or Father Goodson?
Doesn't matter, Father Todd or Father Goodson, either is fine.
Okay, good. Well, this is a show about vocations, as we said, and I want to just open up the program a little bit and ask you about your vocation. How long have you been a priest, and what was the process to get there?
Okay, I've been a priest for 20 years. I think I'm in my 21st year currently. The process to get there, like, do you want to know the whole story or just kind of a summary?
Well, we'll get back to the priest part in a minute, but okay. What led up to that? At what age did you decide you wanted to become a priest?
So I was a little bit of a so-called delayed vocation, at least by today's standards. I graduated from college. I was a mental health social worker slash hack musician for about 4 years. And through a series of kind of prayer things I was doing and some prayerful discernment, I entered St. Meinrad Seminary in 1997 at the age of 27.
They did call that a delayed vocation at one time, but I don't think it's that unusual anymore.
Not at all. In fact, at the time, I was one of the younger seminarians at St. Meinrad. If I were to go in today at age 27, I'd be considered an older seminarian.
So, how was go even back before that? What's your educational background before then?
So, I actually went to the Franciscan University of Steubenville. I graduated from there in 1992 with a psychology degree. Then again, I spent about 3 years after that just kind of, I was doing mental health social work, played some music. I think it was 1996, and this is when I was sort of beginning to more seriously discern a vocation. I had an opportunity to go to a place called the International Theological Institute in Gaming, Austria, started by Franciscan University. I believe it still exists.
I have a daughter there right now.
Oh, okay. Well, very good.
It's there.
So I studied there for 1 year, and then probably through that period of time there, as I was studying theology and, you know, beginning to kind of take my faith a little bit more seriously, I entered seminary right after that year. So,
well, folks that went to Franciscan University, even, you know, in the 90s, that's 30 years ago now, but
it's a long time
unfortunately,
ago. Yeah, yeah.
Those folks were already pretty serious about their faith before they even got there. This is not like you had a late calling, but you just had a different path to get to the calling, right?
Yeah, although I sometimes jokingly say I probably wasn't the poster child for Franciscan University at the time I was there. I was not, I was Catholic, you know, I went to Mass, and but I was not particularly devout even during my time there. It probably wasn't until later on, again, probably in my mid-20s, I was like, you know, I need to kind of sort of get it together, and like, if I'm going to, if you will, be a practicing Catholic, then I need to sort of take it seriously and make that the focal point of my life. Now, I would say Franciscan University was helpful in getting me to a place where I could say that. But at the time there, like I said, I went to Mass every Sunday, but I probably wasn't super devout. So
you mentioned your musical background. Was that, Franciscans kind of well known for their glory and praise and, FOPS, they call them FOPS.
Yeah, the Festivals of Praise.
Yes.
So, I played bass guitar all through college, most of my high school, and then after college too. So I did. I played at the Festivals of Praise from time to time. My sister is also a musician. She sang and played at those as well. And then I played for the Steubenville Summer Conferences under Jim Cowan back in the day. from like 92 to 95. So after I was graduated. And then I was in a little bit of a rock band at the time too. And we played in kind of the local clubs in the area and then did some a little bit in Pittsburgh. And then, yeah, that's it. So I was just kind of all over the place, just wherever I could play.
Well, that's a blessing that you got that treat because the music from there, we still sing it mm-hmm. all the time in my mm-hmm. parish
yeah.
Up north of 96th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down here at Our Lady of Greenwood. That's where you're assigned to right now.
Yeah.
And you've been here about a year or two?
No, it's a little bit longer. I'm in the middle of my fourth year. So,
fourth year.
Yeah.
Okay.
With all the... A lot of us moved to new parishes sort of right before COVID and all the craziness of COVID hit. So that impacted a little bit the connection that you were able to make with people in the parish. And so it seems like it might have only been a year or two, but yeah, I'm in the middle of my fourth year.
And prior to that, you were up at St. Monica Parish on the northwest side of Indy. And
yep.
you also took a tour through southern Indiana, it looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah, I was... So I was at St. Bartholomew in Columbus as an associate pastor for about 2.5 years. From there, I was assigned to Napoleon, St. Morris in Napoleon, Indiana, which is just south of Greensburg, along with Immaculate Conception and St. Dennis, which was in Jennings County. I think at the time it was like the second smallest parish in the diocese. And then I went to St. Ambrose for 4 years and then Monica. So St. Ambrose was in Seymour.
Now tell me about...
I don't want to forget Our Lady of Providence. I was there at Our Lady of Providence, too.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Our Lady of Providence.
Which I think was the smallest parish at the time when I got there. So,
Your upbringing, your parents, what impact did your parents have on you and your vocation decision, Father?
So my parents are divorced. I grew up living with my mom. Dad was always in my life as well. But my mom is a particularly devout Catholic. So I went to Catholic school in Bloomington up to the point where... Sixth grade, that was the last year they had a Catholic education provided. And then, like I grew up in a very devout Catholic family in the sense that my parents were very dedicated, both my mom and my stepdad, and my dad and my stepmom, they're very religious people. They go to church on a regular basis. And so I would say probably my mom was the biggest influence on that. She was very, with me and my sister, and then my mom and stepdad adopted 4 kids, so even with them as well, very insistent on, making sure we're praying on a regular basis. Mass was sort of a non-negotiable. Entering into the Franciscan University was kind of important to her that I at least go to a Catholic school or a Catholic college. So I think to that extent, they were very influential. I grew up in a household that was of practicing Catholics.
So it sounds like they didn't necessarily hit you over the head, but they didn't do anything to stand in your way, and
yeah.
they encouraged it.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, again, growing up with my mom, we were very active in not only the Catholic faith, but if there was like a Christian event or a Christian youth group or something like that, that even if it wasn't Catholic, mom was very, it was very important to her that we were connected with our Christian faith all throughout our lives.
Excellent. And that's what advice would you give parents that might have a son that might be considering a vocation? What's the best advice you can give them?
I think certainly you want to pray for your son who is pursuing a vocation. And I would, in that prayer, I think ask for God's wisdom, to know when to say the right thing at the right time to kind of push them to that vocation if you feel that they have one. It is a weird balance, right? You don't want to be like, if you push them over the top and you're just constantly talking, there'll be some resistance to it oftentimes. Yet at the same time, you don't want to just ignore it. So you have to kind of find that delicate balance where when is, Lord, when do you want me to say something to my son because I feel they have a vocation? Yeah.
Sure, it's really all God's providence anyway.
Right.
It's not our decision. We were called,
right.
or you are called.
Yeah.
I was called to have a different vocation.
Sure, right.
So we all have our vocation.
Exactly.
Being a priest, what is your favorite sacrament to confer?
I get that question, like the kids ask that question and stuff too. I mean, obviously the Eucharist and celebrating the Mass is part and parcel to my life and my day. I guess if there was sort of a favorite, that would be it. But I mean, I like all the sacraments that I'm allowed to celebrate those. I participate fully in all of them. We offer confessions on a pretty regular basis. I think there's a lot of healing that takes place in confession.
Sure.
That
sure.
is excellent to be a part of. I'm trying to do anointing of the sick a little bit more often than I have in the past, and there's a lot of grace there. A lot of those kind of sacraments where you have individual contact with somebody, I think those are can be very graced moments.
The personal contact part is really what I want to center on here.
Okay.
Because when you act in the confessional, when you act in the sacrament of reconciliation or the last rites, extreme unction, you are acting in persona Christi. Mm-hmm. You are a direct lifeline between the parishioner and God and Jesus. So I want to thank you on behalf of the parishioners for that grace that you bestow on us. It is so needed, and we are very grateful to you and your vocation and your choice of vocations to be that person for us. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm Gordon Smith. This is Sons of Melchizedek Show, and I'm interviewing Father Todd Goodson from Our Lady of Greenwood in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Father, what is the thing that you might want to tell your parishioners that would be helpful to you as a pastor here at Our Lady of Greenwood, a fairly big parish down here on the south side?
Like, what would I tell them?
What's helpful? What's helpful for you to, and what maybe is not helpful?
I don't know. they're helpful enough. I think we are trying to do a little bit more focus on, obviously, the Eucharist this year. And I think...
And why is that?
It is going to be I always confuse it. I always say it's the year of the Eucharist, but it's the Eucharistic revival that is coming up in July of 2024.
That's so cool, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And there's some pretty outstanding Eucharistic devotion in this parish in particular. I mean, we have we're building back up to our 24-hour adoration chapel, but... and then we have holy hours on a regular basis. Sister Luita, our director of religious education, is organizing a 40-hour devotion for the Immaculate Conception. So I think just participating in the prayer of the church, that is helpful. I think I talk a lot about prayer. I think it's sort of this foundation, right? That we have to have a relationship with God that in some sense is our own. And from that, we can build into doing the ministry that we feel that God is calling us to. But the relationship with God, both in the, you know, in the sacrifice of the Mass, but also in your personal life, that is crucial to knowing who
Absolutely.
You are, what God is calling you to, getting a sense of like what life is all about. I really believe all of that is rooted in prayer.
And you mentioned the Liturgy of the Hours.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you do as a priest, I've heard that described before as the church's breathing, almost like a tide coming in and going out, and you actually immerse yourself in the prayer of the church. So that's not everybody does Liturgy of the Hours, but for those that do, I think they would agree with that assessment.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We're going to be right back after a short break, but I'm interviewing today Father Todd Goodson, and I'm down at Our Lady of the Greenwood.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Sons of Melchizedek program. I'm Gordon Smith. I'm interviewing Father Todd Goodson, and I'm at Our Lady of the Greenwood in Greenwood, Indiana, in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Father Goodson has been a priest for about 25 years. He had a conversion. He calls it a late vocation, by a pretty normal age, age 27 when he started in seminary. And he went to St. Meinrad for 4 years, three
five.
Years?
Five.
5 years.
Yeah, I did the whole 5 years.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's a wonderful place, too. That's a very peaceful place down there.
Yeah.
So Father Goodson is the senior pastor or a co-pastor. What do we call you? Senior pastor, co-pastor?
So actually, you're just called the pastor. And then there's associate pastors or what they call parochial vicars. However, we have even a weirder situation here. I am the priest moderator / pastor of Our Lady of Greenwood, St. Rose, and then I guess I'm also the priest moderator of Holy Trinity. This is kind of a priest shortage sort of response to things. It's kind of experimenting with teams of priests. Working at several parishes. So Father Tim is actually, for all practical purposes, pastoring St. Rose. I pastor here with Father Ashok, and then actually, Columbus, St. Bartholomew.
Father Rodas is up here, too, yeah. Somewhere.
He's retired, and he helps us out from time to time. But, yeah, Father Rodas, actually, you'll see Father Rodas all over the place. He's always helping people out all over the diocese. But he lives in our boundaries.
I see. And Indianapolis Archdiocese doesn't have the pastorate-type arrangement that they have in Lafayette.
No. That's Lafayette.
That are joined at the hip.
Correct. Yeah, Lafayette has made some pretty significant changes, I believe, to how they operate. We have not done that yet.
Well, the whole idea of this program, Father, is to get more vocations, more young men that want to be priests. So that would solve the whole problem of pastorates or insolitum.
The insolitum. Yes, that's correct. The insolitum team or whatever they call that now. Yeah.
So what would you tell a young man? I've asked you what the parents should say, but what would you say as pastor here to a young man that's considering a vocation, and what's the best course?
Yeah, I mean, so of course there's different levels of which you're pursuing the vocation. So, I mean, if you've been thinking about it for a while, I would take active steps to begin looking at if it's a religious order that you're wanting to join, or if you think you're going to be a diocesan priest, to contact your vocation office. Ask them, what are the requirements? What do I need to be doing, et cetera? If you're early on in your discernment, I think it's important to have that be rooted in prayer. I would also make sure you have a few trusted advisors, including a spiritual director of some kind that would be a priest. And you can tell the priest, you know, I'm discerning a vocation, I need a director, and almost every priest would agree to do that or agree to help there.
And that seems to me to be at a point where you've already kind of said, yes, I'm really open to considering this. But I've also talked to a good number of priests that at some point prior to that resisted the call.
Oh, sure.
You know, push it away. You know, this can't be me. I always thought I wanted to be a father and a husband and have kids.
Yeah.
Did you have any point in your life where you were pushing it away just not totally open to it?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. Like, it's so long ago. I'm almost
25 years ago.
Yeah, I'm almost at the point where most of my life's been as a priest and not as a non-priest or whatever. Of course, I mean, I did enter at 27, and I was, you know, kind of goofing off and having fun in my 20s and wasn't taking life all that seriously. I guess I'd say when I began to sort of take life a little bit more seriously as something that I, you know, had some sort of sense of purpose to it, I think that's when I began to like really lock into like, I need to pursue a vocation. Like what God
and was there an event? I mean, sometimes it's a car accident or something like that. A lightning bolt? What happened?
So as the story goes, I've told this story millions of times. So after that summer at the International Theological Institute, I came back to Bloomington and was kind of, I was 26, about to turn 27, you know, was at a little bit of like, what am I doing with my life kind of a point. So I began to sort of make that the summer of active discernment. And so at that particular time, I was probably a little more engaged in my faith than I really had ever been. I was going to Mass on a regular basis, trying to pray and all that kind of stuff. I sort of made a deal with God at the beginning of the summer. I said, I will pursue a vocation for the entire summer, and I will actively seek various religious orders and, you know, make contact and et cetera. And I said, but by my 27th birthday, if you have not clearly revealed to me that I have a vocation to the priesthood, then I'm done. You know, I'm just not going to do it.
Okay, so it was a bargain.
It was total bargain. Yeah, I was definitely, definitely bargaining. And so I did. I spent the summer. I lived in my dad's house. I lived in the basement of my dad's house, and I was mowing the lawn at the church. I worked in some group homes for a little bit just to kind of pay rent and bills. And again, I had looked at some other religious orders, but the turning point came was there was one of those vocation dinners where a seminarian and a nun come and talk to a group of people about like what a vocation is. And my dad had found this out and scheduled a time for me to go there with, I think it was Father Dan Donahue, who was the pastor of St. John's at the time. So me and a couple other guys and some other people, I feel like we went in like a van or something and drove over there. And the date was changed. The date was changed. It was on one particular day. It got changed to August 19th. Initially, I thought that was a little bit of an interesting thing to happen. And I went there.
So what's August 19th?
I'll get there.
It may have some extra meaning here.
It will have some extra meaning. Let me get to it. So we got to the dinner, and Archbishop Beeklein was behind the counter. I wrote my name on my name tag. I never talked to Archbishop Beeklein. I don't think I even knew who he was. And I wrote down the name, Todd Goodson, on there, and he looked at my name tag and goes, "Oh, you're Todd Goodson. I heard you're ready to join us." So August 19th was my 27th birthday, and the Archbishop said that to me on my 27th birthday. And everything after that was just like, oh, I guess that's the sign.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah. And so found out through a series of circumstances my pastor had been talking to Archbishop Beeklein. But nonetheless, as far as signs that, you know, God is telling you to, that you may have a vocation, I think the only thing that would have made it more clear is if there was like a burning bush behind him or something like that. So I entered seminary as soon as I was allowed to, and I've been around ever since.
I've heard it said before, both in priestly vocations, but also in conversion stories, that if you wait around for everything to be perfectly in its place and 100% every question answered, you'll never get there.
Right.
And so thank you for your vocation. We really appreciate it. And
sure.
Think of all the people that you've influenced over your 25-year career here, and there's going to be plenty more.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to thank you for that, Father. I have another question, and it has to do with before you got this happy birthday present at age 27. And it has to do with, and I don't want to put you on a spot, so please skip this question if I am. But you said you were goofing around.
Yeah.
And you said that a couple of times.
Yeah.
So that it got me thinking, what are you goofing around? You're playing bass guitar.
Yeah.
You're in some bands. Did you date women?
I did, yes.
So there's a misconception there that priests are always celibate and never interested in women.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a pretty big misconception, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I dated all through college to the extent that someone would date me. And I had a girlfriend for about 2 years during my 20s.
So you are a normal human being.
Yes, I still feel like I still am. Well, I'm not really that normal. I've never really been that normal, but yes, I am a normal human being. I am no different than, you know, any other person that was my age at that particular time.
You're a distinguished looking man with a gray beard.
That's right. That's right.
Father, what is your plan for the future? What do you want to do with this parish?
I don't know. I mean, if you talk to any of people who know me, advanced planning is not a strength of mine. I'm a little bit more of a day-to-day guy. We have a pastoral plan, and I used to even kind of say these things at St. Monica's too. Something that's developed in my thought as I get older as a priest is that kind of these three focal points that I think are important in the life of the church, and that would be prayer, which should lead to your vocation, and from your vocation and prayer, evangelization. That those three kind of key words are always sort of in my head as to like orchestrating all ministry around those three themes, and I just really think you can't go wrong.
Well, you mentioned that several times as well. Besides the goofing around comment that I just brought up again, you've brought up prayer many times in this conversation.
Yeah.
So that it has to be focal to all of our lives, right, Father?
Right, right, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm not naturally like a prayerful person. I really am not. I'm not kind of any kind of guru of spirituality or anything like that. And I think that's why I talk about it all the time, because it's in some sense it's reminding myself I've got to remain anchored in Christ, or
it's got to be on the front burner.
Yeah, if it's all just like my ideas and what I think, it's never going to go anywhere. So.
And never will, because it's all in God's hands, on God's providence.
Yeah,
we have this Eucharistic Congress coming up in 2024, and you have a very active parish here, I'd say. So, are you having special plans for the Congress that you want to disclose at this time, or have you?
At this point, no. We're probably, again, we're going to do this 40-hour devotion, at least under my time here. This is the first 40-hour devotion we've really tried. I think there's some thought to expanding our Corpus Christi procession a little bit. I would say in general, I'm pretty pleased with the Eucharistic devotion I encounter here at Our Lady of the Greenwood. This is a parish that I would consider very devoted to the Eucharist. I'm not finding myself having to do a lot of convincing about the importance of it and things like that. It's probably, I don't know if it's against diocesan policy, but we have four tabernacles on site. The nuns have one. I won't say a word. Well, I just publicly said it again. You know, the nuns have one. We've got an adoration chapel. We've got a daily mass chapel. And then we've got our main worship space, all four of which have tabernacles. So, I mean,
Well, that's so important. And, you know, we are coming off about a year ago, the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that's at a time that was very shocking to many parishioners here, as well as my parish, when they couldn't get at the sacraments, couldn't get at the adoration.
Did you
restore adoration fairly quickly after you were permitted to?
I felt as quickly as we could, we did. You know, that was a weird time for everybody. I think there's a lot of things in hindsight. I'd be like, well, maybe we would have done that differently if we weren't so confused about what was going on.
Sure. It was a very difficult time
yeah.
for everybody. And are your parishioners pretty much back?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think, I hate to say it, I think most priests you talk to would say we probably have lost some because of that. I mean, I wasn't really here long enough before it happened to really get a good sense of like how many we've lost. But I would say the parish is pretty active and vibrant at this point.
Oh, yeah. This is well known.
I sometimes say I'm kind of perpetually dissatisfied, so I always like to see more if we can get more things going on. But yeah, I say the life of the church is there, but, you know, there's just so much ministry that can be done out there. There's, you know, I mean, for every Catholic, there's probably one fallen away Catholic, multiple people here who, you know, people who are poor, people who are in financial need. And there's just lots of stuff I think we can kind of continue to work on and continue to grow in.
Well, we all need to save souls. That's what we're trying to do at Catholic Radio Indy, and that's what you're trying to do here at Our Lady of the Greenwood. This would be a good time to mention, however, we are going to air this a couple weeks after we taped it, but just this week in Johnson County and
yes,
northern
right.
or southern Marion County, we have our new frequency for Catholic Radio Indy. It's on 89.5 now. So if you haven't found that out yet, we'll try to publish it at the Flock Notes or bulletin here.
So you're actually just down the road from us. You're down in Franklin?
In Franklin.
Oh,
well, the tower for this new signal is in Trafalgar, right
oh,
next
okay.
to the Channel 4 tower, if you know where that is.
Yeah.
So, but it covers all of Johnson County quite well and all the way down to Scipio, which is south of Columbus, as you know.
Yep.
So we've been interviewing Father Todd Goodson today. I'm Gordon Smith. This is the Sons of Melchizedek program. Thank you for your time, Father.
No problem. Thanks for interviewing me.
God bless you.
All right. Likewise. Take care.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.